What then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So that neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. So far, God's holy word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed through Jesus' precious blood, when my wife and I drove our moving truck from Eau Claire, Wisconsin to here in Madison Heights, we decided to take the northern route and go through the beautiful Upper Peninsula of Michigan and come down over the Mackinac Bridge. And we were both shocked and awed by the massiveness of this bridge and the beauty of the upper state of Michigan, especially the blue of the lakes, the vast forests and the rich greenery as we drove down towards Madison Heights and our new home. That beautiful deep green color of growing and living and thriving plant life, that's one of those small details which multiplied by the millions makes for a truly stunning summer, especially here in Michigan. What about you? Have you been doing any growing of any greenery this summer? Any flowers or herbs or gardening perhaps in the backyard? You know, the Bible is full of many intricate and powerful illustrations of God's relationship with his people. And one of the best is this picture of Christians as living and growing and thriving plants within God's holy garden. Well, if you have experience with gardening or growing, you probably know that it's a lot of work. And it can be tedious and very frustrating at times, because sometimes you can do everything right and you just can't get your garden to grow. Sometimes you'll do everything right and it seems like everything's going well, and halfway through the summer, one night of torrential downpour or one week of unbelievable scorching heat can ruin the entire crop. But when the garden is glowing green and everything's overflowing with fruits and veggies, it becomes easy to pat ourselves on the back to think, ooh, maybe I'm the one with the green thumb. Sometimes we fall into that idea of crediting ourselves for our own great gardening skills. But who really makes the garden grow? Who really opens the seeds in the soil and provides the rain and the sunshine? What about the spiritual garden? What about God's precious garden of his precious people? Who really makes that garden grow? Who provides the growth deep within the plants, even in a small garden like the one here at Mount Zion? Well, this morning I invite you to consider the theme and the answer to these questions. Only God makes the garden grow. By deeply planting faith in hearts, and by continually watering with his word. Now, the original audience of this letter of the Apostle Paul was a very small Christian church in Corinth, Greece. And the Corinthian church was one of God's earliest New Testament gardens. And it was also one of the most troubled congregations that the Apostle Paul had underneath his care. In addition to other problems, one of the things going on was there was quarreling and infighting amongst the members about whom to follow and which minister had the right and correct teachings. Paul says in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, "It has been reported to me that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, 'I follow Paul,' or 'I follow Apollos,' or 'I follow Cephas,' or 'I follow Christ.'" Now, as we read about this, and we can see the whole counsel of God and read the entire New Testament, it seems obvious to us, and maybe a little strange and ridiculous, that there would be so much quarreling amongst these early believers, especially with the fact that all of these teachers all taught the same thing, the same doctrines. In chapter 2, Paul reminds them that the most important doctrine to be taught amongst any of God's gardens is the teaching of Christ crucified for the sins of the world. What matters is not the man who brings this message, but rather the message itself. So Paul asks in our text, he says, what then is Apollos, or what is Paul? Servants. Someone who serves. A minister, after all, means servant. The word pastor means shepherd. And yes, the pastor leads and tends his flock, but he does so by serving them with God's word. That was the job of Paul and Apollos, and it is the job now as of me, as your called pastor, to serve you with God's word. Of course, it is God alone who gives this opportunity to preach his holy word. Now, human beings, we are very visual creatures, aren't we? We put a lot of stock into the things that we can see with our own two eyes. In society today, we oftentimes measure success or growth with our own eyes. And the world tells us that success is measured by what? Toys. Nice cars, fancy houses, fashionable clothing. The world tells us to measure everything with our own two eyes. What about spiritual success? What about spiritual growth? We are driven by our own sinful flesh to think that maybe spiritual gardens grow, not by God's grace, maybe not by God's word, but what about personality, or experience, or grit, or determination, or community programs, or youth? How is spiritual growth measured in God's garden? By the average attendance? By the number of conversions that we have every year? No, of course not. True spiritual growth happens when God's word is proclaimed in its truth and purity. If we wanted to grow a mega church, it would be easy. All we have to do is compromise. All you have to do is allow in all the thorns and the weeds and the thistles and the poisonous teachings of false doctrine. And so often what appears to the untrained eye to be growth is so often, and usually, only the leaven puffing up that poisonous loaf of bread. So Paul says in verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So thank God that the job of growing is not left up to us. Imagine if it were up to us to try and convince or persuade anyone to believe that a book is the words of God, the God of all the universe, the God who created this universe in 6 24-hour days. Imagine if it were up to us to explain and to convince and to persuade people that God came down from heaven, took the form of a man, lived a perfect life, died an innocent death, and rose from the dead on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. If that were up to us, none of us would ever convince anyone. No one would ever believe, and God's garden would never grow. But it isn't. It wasn't up to Paul, and it wasn't up to Apollos either. It was God who used Paul to plant those seeds of faith deep into the hearts of the Corinthians. It was God who used Apollos to water them with his word, continually growing them and strengthening them. And it was God who sent his Holy Spirit, ultimately, to grow that garden there in Corinth, through baptisms, communions, constant nurture in God's word, because only God makes his garden grow. And it's God who planted faith deep into your heart, who worked his Holy Spirit within you, through your baptism, through your conversion. Your faith is deeper than any root of any plant. In fact, we're told in 1 Peter 1, verse 23, that we have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and abiding word of God. So yes, your faith is rooted in the deep soil of Scripture, and it is imperishable. So how do we measure growth? How do we measure success? True success is the fact that sinners like us have been saved. That is true success. That is a true measurement, a true idea of how God grows his garden. And growth continues when God's children like us work to bring God's seed, that word, to others. In verse 6, you notice there's a bit of a change in the verb tense, very slightly. It says, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Paul planted in the past, and Apollos watered in the past, but God's action of growing is ongoing. It continues. It happened then, it's happening now, and it will happen in the future. We have that promise, and what an incredible promise of God's faithfulness that truly is. So yes, pastors and teachers and lay people like us will come and go, and we'll have different programs, Sunday school, Bible class, VBS, those too will come and go. Do their work and be gone, but God will always remain. His word will continue to be preached in its truth and purity here at Mount Zion in this garden, as it has been in the past, and it will be in the future, because of God and His faithfulness. Verse 7 reads, So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Paul basically says the same thing again, pounding home that point to his readers, to his listeners. He says, Pastors, teachers, anyone who spreads God's word is truly one and the same. Truly, ministers underneath God, because only God makes the garden grow. You know, it's funny, isn't it? Paul's statement is really the opposite of the way in which most people think. Everybody wants to be somebody. Everybody wants to stand out. Nobody wants to take a back seat and give credit to one another. It's not within our own sinful flesh. Our flesh tells us that we should be first, that we should have first dibs, that it should be our name on the plaque. It reminds me of a story from my childhood. You know, when I was an insecure young teenager, it was the style for insecure young teenagers to grow their hair out a little bit and get these big globs of greasy gel and slather that in your hair and spike it. And so naturally, that's what me and all of my friends did. And I'll never forget one day coming to school and walking down the hallway and seeing one of my friends walk down the hallway, and everyone was staring at him. And they were staring at him because his spiky hair had been chopped off, and he had a completely buzzed haircut all the way down. And I remember asking him incredulously why he had done this and changed this hairstyle. And he looked at me and he said, Hey, I'm somebody. And I'll never forget that. And he just wanted to be different. And it's not always a bad thing. He chose to stand out a little bit. And sometimes it's no big deal, is it? Like with haircuts. Who cares? But sometimes the devil and the world, they try to use that attitude of being different, of standing out, of being first in line to appeal to our own sinful pride, telling us that fame or popularity, that these things are very important, that they're the key to happiness, telling us that a prestigious job title or superior athleticism or brain power, that these things are important, that they're going to make us great. Of course, that frame of mind doesn't really help God's garden grow. Instead, a different attitude is needed. The attitude of the Apostle Paul, or the attitude of John the Baptist, who said in John 3, verse 30, Christ must increase, and I must decrease. The garden won't grow unless Christ is being proclaimed, and His name is being put forth, and not our own. Everybody wants to be somebody, to do something remarkable, to be something incredible. Who wants to be nobody? Well, we do. Because from a heart of faith, we recognize with John the Baptist and the Apostle Paul that we are nobodies. And Jesus died for the nobodies. And because of Him, we went from having nothing to having everything. Not only has the seed of faith in Christ's redemptive work been placed within your heart because He loves you and cared for you and died on the cross for your sins, but it is even now being watered and cultivated by the wonderful gift of God's Word. In verse 8, Paul reminds us that all ministers of God's holy Word are truly one and the same, showering fellow believers with the everlasting water. All ministers are one underneath the great minister, Jesus. And there's obviously differences between us, isn't there? But like Paul says, some plant, some water. But all of this is God's business. All of the planting and watering is focused on God giving the growth. What a miracle that that tiny seed of faith that's placed into the hearts of little babies and little children and adults is nourished and watered and continues to grow. After all, faith is dynamic. It's either growing or shrinking. There's no in between. Nothing. And there's no secret to how it grows. We've been talking about it all morning. And it's in our text, through the continued showering and watering of God's Word. So, calling and installing a new pastor here at Mount Zion to pick up where the former pastor left off, to continue proclaiming the Word faithfully as it has been faithfully proclaimed here for years. Doing family devotions in your home. Daily personal Bible reading of God's Word. These are all ways in which God continually provides water for our faith, for our seeds to grow. Coming here to Mount Zion. Mount Zion Lutheran Church, week after week, God is making His garden grow right here, right now. It grows in our hearts as the Holy Spirit strengthens our faith. It grows in our minds as we increase our biblical knowledge and become more secure in the promises of God's Word. His garden has been growing here for years, and it will continue to grow because of God and His faithful promises, not because of anything of our qualities, but because God makes His garden grow. He is the great gardener, and to Him belong all things. Look at verse 9. You see three possessives there. To whom belong the workers in the field, in the building? God's workers, God's field, God's building. Remember, without God, we are nobodies. But the change in status from nobody to God's holy somebodies, His holy children, that's all in His working and not at all in ours. So whether we be pastors or teachers, lay people, we all belong to God. It is, after all, His garden, and we are all growing in it. So as we conclude our study this morning, I'd like you to consider some words from Isaiah chapter 61. You can find them in your bulletin, in the inside cover, as the pre-service devotion. Sometimes in the Old Testament, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would speak directly through the voice of His prophets. And Isaiah chapter 61 is one of those incredible occasions. Verses 1 through most of 3 list all the incredible things that Jesus has done and will do for His people. And at the end of verse 3, He tells us why. So this is Christ speaking. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion and give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit." And why? Why did He do all this? Why did Jesus save us? That's what it says next. "So that you might be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified." So yes, we have all become oaks of righteousness, a perfect righteousness given to us, achieved by Christ through His perfect sacrifice. Oaks of righteousness with faith rooted deep in the soil of Scripture and in our hearts, oaks of righteousness that are still growing day by day, continually watered with God's Word, and oaks of righteousness that have been grown by God, for God, in God's garden. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.